out there in music video land. Welcome to the second episode of the Music Video Chats podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at the Internet Music Video Database, or IMVDB.com. I am the host of this podcast. My name is Doug Klinger. With us every week is North of the Wall, our band leader, Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you doing this week?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Sweet. Can you give us a little music as our band leader?
Well, a little drum roll, maybe.
Okay, that's all we need from you. You're earning your title. And with us this week on the podcast, really excited, somebody we've wanted to talk to for a while. You might know him from his pretty classic work with Action Bronson. We had his Easy Rider video in our top 10 music videos of 2014. Director Tom Gould, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. I consider you guys like the Rain Men of music videos, you know. So being on the show today is it's all my pleasure. So thanks.
Sweet, the Rain Men of music videos. We haven't heard that before, but we'll take it. We'll find a way to squeeze that into the footer somewhere, so people know. And you know, Tom, your work goes back a few years in the database. A lot of it kind of is Action Bronson related, but I'm curious to kind of get started, if you could just talk to us about how you got into directing music videos.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm from New Zealand originally, and so grew up there throughout my younger years, and actually moved to New York in 2009. And I suppose my background before that was in stills photography, and so I'd always wanted to come to New York just because everything over here visually was like inspiring and everything just looked wicked. So I eventually got out here in 2009 and, you know, continued, I suppose, taking pictures and documenting things around me. And I suppose the people that I got introduced to when I first met, when I first moved to the city, the people that I met were artists and visual people as well. A lot of them were kind of into music. And, you know, one of the people that I met early on was Action Bronson. And so we first kind of connected in 2009 just through mutual friends. And I suppose at that time, he was kind of beginning to rap. I suppose when we first met, he was still a chef at his father's restaurant. And so we used to go and hang out in the basement there where kind of like the kitchen was and just kind of hang out. And I suppose around the same time, I said the like 2010, I suppose he started kind of getting more into the music after he broke his ankle. And I suppose being a friend of his and, you know, me being a visual person, him being a music person, you know, we started to collaborate. And I suppose that's kind of how our, you know, working relationship kind of started. And, you know, since then, we've kind of been working with him since and creating visuals. But yeah, the most recent and latest work was Easy Rider, which is a hell of a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I can imagine. But to go back to when you guys kind of got started, what were, like, because I know you do also like a lot of really great documentary work that we've seen and we'll link to in the show notes. Like, what kind of work were you doing prior to the music videos with Bronson on the visual side? Was it mainly still a lot of photography stuff?
Yes, it was photography, really. I suppose when I was younger, I had the first kind of, I suppose, like film pieces I got into were documentary. So documentary film was always like my first kind of passion before music videos. But I was also, you know, a huge fan of music growing up and definitely always inspired by music. So a lot of the work, you know, pre-music videos was, I suppose, documentary style photography, but stills based. So I suppose once I kind of get it into, you know, moving image into film, you know, I wanted to continue down that path and make short continue to make like short documentaries and documentary films. But when the music video stuff came about, like what I enjoy is like telling stories and telling narratives, you know? And so, I wanted to tell narratives in music videos as well. So it just kind of goes hand in hand, you know, being a fan of music and being a visual person. Like I just kind of found myself making music videos, and I was lucky enough to have friends around me that were kind of interesting artists and that were making good music, but also visual people, you know, like Bronson himself is a very visual person. So I don't know, man, it all just kind of happened, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great to be around that like-minded people.
And you mentioned narratives and storytelling, and that's one thing, like watching all of your music videos, that like all of them really have like a really kind of tangible narrative that you can hold on to. Where does kind of the narrative, is that kind of where it starts? So you kind of come up with the story of your music videos more of it, like as a short film
perspective? Yeah, I suppose to, you know, like personally, like I find kind of narrative music videos just interesting because I feel it kind of engages the viewer and kind of takes them along for the ride. And that's, for, you know, I feel that's what I like to do in the music videos that I make. You know, I like to have a narrative there or something like a, even if it's just a loose narrative, just to kind of engage the viewers or the viewers that do get engaged. A lot of people don't even pay attention, you know, but it's just like having like a narrative to drive the visual and to tell a story is, it's, you know, it's a fun for me. And I feel it's also great for the viewer if I take them along that ride. And, you know, the most, I think the like, most powerful thing with music videos is like a great visual to the music, and like lift that song and make that song even more powerful, you know, something that complements the music. So that's also something that I try and do, you know, and each of the music videos just to kind of uplift it and make sure the visuals are matching and they're like visually engaging.
I think Doug and I are both interested in hearing a bit more about your work with Bronson. How involved is he in the conceptualization of the videos you've done?
Yeah, he's right there, man. Definitely, like, he's got great ideas. You know, he's just he's a crazy dude. Like, you could tell that straight off the bat, you know. But he's also like a real fan of. You know, cinema and, you know, visual imagery, everything, you know, and he has a great recollection for all that stuff. So like working with him, like, I suppose to break down like our work process, like we'd get together, you know, we'd listen to the song like once over, and then we'd just start coming up with ideas, you know, like just talking about like references from the past or things that we like visually or what could be like impactful, you know, and we kind of just sit together. I'll be there just chilling out. He'll be there just smoking dabs, like, to the face, like, every 2 minutes. And we'll just kind of go back and forth and, like, bounce ideas off each other. And that's kind of really how it works. You know, he's definitely hands-on with it because, like I said, he's got great ideas and he's totally out of his mind. So when we bounce back and forth, it's, you know, like, one idea sparks the next, you know, and we'll kind of get, like, a kind of a thought out plan as to where we want to move forward with the visual, and then from there I suppose I would tweak the narrative and kind of really plan it out into more of a storyboard and get it all kind of like tucked away as like how it's gonna kind of roll out in my head, and then we go and shoot it, man.
I'm always, because you painted it for me a little bit, I'm always like curious what it's like, just like what the atmosphere is like when you're coming up with an idea for a music video with Action Bronson. And like I've seen, you know, obviously there's plenty of, I think I've heard him quote, I think it was in a Fuck That's Delicious episode, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I think he said it's all about footage these days, and there's so much footage of Action Bronson on the internet doing so many things, but like it's hard to tell if he's just super conscious of that the camera's around, and maybe he's not actually like that, but like, there's no faking for the camera for Bronson. That's kind of what you're getting, even when it's just like the two of you guys coming up with an idea for a music video.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah, there's definitely no faking on his part. You know, he's I know. I suppose like, you know, him in front of the camera, he's just a charismatic dude. You know, and having the camera like, you know, on him is just that he just feels natural behind it. You know, so in that sense, he's great to work with because not only does he have great ideas behind the camera in terms of crazy things that, you know, he might want to put in front of it, but when it goes to executing those things, like, you know, he's right there, you know. And I suppose that's why he's great to work with, man. And I feel like, and he's unique in the sense that no one in you know, in my eyes, no one else in hip-hop these days are really doing things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one's putting themselves out there like that and making videos and content and stuff like that, like in the, you know, the typical hip-hop world, you know. So he's a breath of fresh air, man. He's different, and it's definitely a bizarre ride whenever he's involved, you know, which is great.
And you know, is it like, you know, in the Easy Rider video in particular, like what he kind of like the what he's kind of responsible for on screen is pretty intense. Like he's, you know, having to pull off some like pretty serious performances. He's fighting people in a bar. Like he's doing a lot of stuff. Like, even once like the crazy idea is set, like, do you kind of feel like pretty much only someone like Bronson can pull that type of thing off? I mean, it's pretty intensive for an artist to be able to do that type of thing. Is it kind of really unique to Bronson, would you say?
Yeah, I feel, yeah, like in terms of pulling it off, like, it's all well and good having these like crazy ideas, like I want to do this, like, you know, ride this motorcycle, da da da, like I want to have a fight. Like, I suppose with Easy Rider, like there was that one thing that he really wanted, and he really wanted a fight scene, you know what I mean? He's like, there's got to be a fight scene, and you know, we got to be ripping that guitar solo. Those are like the two main things, you know what I mean? It's like, it's awesome when an artist comes to you and says that they want to do that stuff, you know? So, you know, like with Bronson, it's great that like we have that relationship. I have that relationship with him that we go back, you know, years now, that, you know, we trust each other's vision, and that, like, we can push each other to, like, well, I can push him to, you know, get the stuff done when we need it on the day. But in terms of, like, actually being there on the day and getting it done, like, for Easy Rider, like, it was definitely hard work. It was, you know, it was like a 2-day shoot, you know, like, packed, like the whole days were just, like, packed back to back. We had to move very quickly to get it done. But, you know, and the crazy, like, heat of, like, Northern California, you know, we just kind of like had to push through and get it done. And Bronson was just fucking awesome in that, you know what I mean? He was there to make this badass video, you know, and he just, you know, he comes through with that, which is great, man. But yeah, it's definitely like a crazy ride, the whole shoot, you know?
Yeah. And were you guys using an actual machine gun for that beginning shot?
Yeah, that's like a real gun.
Was there at any time where you tried to like push back against that, being like, we could fake this and not risk our lives? Or was that like, are you just on board with just as much on board with doing it that way?
Man, I think if you could shoot things like as realistic as possible, like do it for real, like in camera, like do it, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
we had this Asian marksman that action always refers to me, like he was like the Asian shooter. He was like, you know what was better than the gun was the marksman that came with it. And like, he was just this crazy like marksman that turned up that knew everything about the guns and everything. It was just, yeah, it was, the whole experience was hilarious with the gun, man.
So there's but, an amazing behind, this is another thing we'll link to in the show notes. There's amazing behind the scenes from the Easy Rider video where he does keep referring to the marksman as specifically Asian marksman. And he is. But it's just so funny that it makes it better, like some like better, it like is it when an improvement qualifier. It's so funny that stuck out to me that he did that too. Another thing I found out from that behind the scenes is that I thought that when I watched this video that I had recognized that church, and I'm like, man, this feels like the Kill Bill church. Is that's actually the church from Kill Bill?
Yeah, man, that's the church from Kill Bill.
Man, and so what was that process like of like securing that, and like, and was that like something that was planned all along, or what was that like?
Yeah, I suppose that was something that like I know was in the vicinity and thought it would be, you know, great to get for the video, and Bronson like really wanted it as well, you know. Once I got talking and was showing him the church, he's like, yeah, we kind of need that church. And I suppose I could. We were going through the process of trying to secure it. I knew there was like a little bit of fuss over it, or it wasn't totally easy to secure it. And we were also kind of like maxing out our budget, like it was a real fight. And then in the end of it, I think like Bronson was like, you know, we really need this church. And luckily, like some extra money came through, and we're able to lock that down straight away. And it was awesome just to have it in there, you know what I mean? It's just like one of those little references that I'm sure a lot of people that are, you know, into film recognize it and get, but for everyone else, it's just like a church in the middle of the desert, you know, like, but it's just a cool signifier. Like I personally like little details and like little hidden details. Like when you watch something, you might not always pick it up the first time, but if someone goes back and catches it for a second time, it's even that more special, you know what I mean? Like little things that aren't completely obvious, but they're in there, you know. I think that's, yeah, it was cool to have, man.
For anyone who's not familiar with the original film, how much would you say the Easy Rider video kind of pays tribute to? What are the parts that are kind of maintained into the video?
Motorbikes and acid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's, I suppose the whole, yeah, it's not really, it's a picture of Easy Rider. It was more, I suppose, when we're kind of going back and forth, it was more just the, like, the feeling and the era and, and definitely the kind of psychedelic nature of it that we kind of wanted to kind of, like, put forward with the visual. in terms of Easy Rider, the film itself is kind of like a kind of crazy plot, you know. But like, you know, the scene that stands out in it is definitely like the tripping scene, you know what I mean? And those guys were actually taking acid. I heard like Peter Fonda never even like forgave like Jack Nicholson for like for that scene, apparently. So for me, that's kind of powerful, you know.
Was so there's three questions about authenticity. I'm so happy that you like talked about them really taking acid in Easy Rider. Three authenticity questions about the Easy Rider music video that I have. One is Action Bronson really riding a motorcycle? Is he really high on acid? And is he really playing the guitar?
Oh man, you're blowing my cover with these questions, man. But I could totally lie, but I'm gonna be honest with you guys. But yeah, he wasn't taking acid, but he was smoking a lot of wax during the whole filming, you know.
Right.
So the acid was fake. He wasn't riding a motorbike. He was getting pulled behind on like a trolley. And he has no idea how to play a guitar.
Those are all the answers I was hoping for. Because despite that, at no point does it lose believability. Every moment of that music video is completely true in the world of that music video. And that's what makes it so amazing, because like I kind of knowing in my head, just like I don't know Action Bronson very well, but like I'm like I have a feeling he doesn't play the guitar, and so watching that, but like he pulls it off so well. Like, was there any like when you guys wrote that in there, like was it just such an obvious answer that even though he had no idea to play the guitar, how to play the guitar, like that would be your kind of climax of that video?
Yeah, 100%. That was, yeah, he like, that was something that he really wanted to do. Like, I think we had talked even like before I'd even heard the song for Easy Rider, just about some, like, you know, we're always talking about like old films, music videos and everything. And we were both, I think we were actually just like, we were driving somewhere. I think we might've been playing November Rain or playing Guns N' Roses. And we just started talking about like, you know, how November Rain is like the illest video like ever, you know? And obviously the Slash's guitar solo was just epic, you know, and that was like in front of the church, like out in the desert. So, you know, as soon as we had the opportunity, like, oh, he had a guitar solo in one of the songs, we knew we had to do it in the video, you know. It was just like, it was going to happen 100%. So yeah, it was awesome that it, you know, came down to it and we could actually do it. But yeah, it's funny, like I feel like anybody that knows how to play guitar, like if they watch the video, they can tell that he doesn't know how to play, you know? But right. It's even more awesome that he doesn't know how to play.
Right, and then he just completely just fakes it. Is there any footage that's like just completely too not convincing? That you're like, no, I can't even use that. It looks like he's not even holding it right.
Well, for the guitar scene?
Yeah.
I don't even think it really matters, you know.
Right.
I think if it, yeah, I suppose the whole premise was, it wasn't supposed to be too convincing, you know, but it was right. It was just supposed to visually look good, you know, and I suppose his performance in terms of his facials and the way he's moving and tapping his feet wearing, you know, leather cowboy boots, like, those are like the important aspects I wanted to grab, you know.
Definitely.
But yeah, it's comical, man, and yeah, he's a trip.
And so what about the costuming in the video? Like, where does that conversation happen? Is it kind of like, is it like thrown together at points, or is it like, is there a lot of options? Like, how does that work for the costuming for the video?
I suppose with this, it was kind of easy in the fact that he only really had one kind of main like outfit, you know, which was basically the kind of the army looked like, the Vietnam War vet, you know? But, you know, we wanted to reference like, you know, like parts of Easy Rider, like for example, in Easy Rider, they have the classic like American flag, like, you know, a motorcycle helmet, you know, but for this, you know, we decided to kind of play with that. And, but he was throwing on the bandana, you know, instead, but just little subtle hints, you know, but, in terms of like the other wardrobe, you know, for Bronson and, you know, the first thing, he's just wearing like a hospital gown, you know? But, you know, like one of our favorite parts and, you know, like a great thing, you know, coming up with it was that the fact that he was just going to bust out of this, this hospital and be on a hospital gown, like flaying in the wind on the back of a motorcycle, you know. For me, like visually, I thought that was, you know, that was just hilarious, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I suppose the final kind of like outfit, Action's got like a big, I think, like an affinity for trench coats and dusters, you know, and for things leather. So I suppose like for this last scene, you know, like when he's ripping the guitar solo on the mountain, you know, there was definitely going to be some leather involved. So it took a while to track down like a 4XL leather trench coat, but we caught one, man. We had an amazing stylist for the shoot. You know, she was just, you know, like Avery was amazing, just sourcing everything that Bronson need, you know, down to like the jewelry, you know, and everything that he's wearing on the motorcycle. Just like the biggest, one of the most biggest and most important parts was the feather earring that he's wearing in the guitar solo, you know, and that was a big thing, you know, getting the right turquoise accented leather earring specific to Bronson's request. But yeah, man, we found it, and yeah, it's great.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, in addition to the music videos that you've done with Action Bronson, you also produce, shoot, and edit the Fuck That's Delicious Vice Munchie series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, like it's not just me. There's definitely a team behind it, but yeah, I definitely help out, you know, with creating that, and was there, right, I suppose, like at the beginning when the initial kind of concept and idea was born to now kind of go through with this. I kind of started out just, I went on tour with Bronson at the start of last year, and we went back down to New Zealand, to Australia and South Africa. And as we were touring around, we were just filming stuff and filming things that, you know, the big man was eating along the way. And then it kind of like just morphed into something bigger and became Fuck That's Delicious, which is now his food show, you know.
So like a lot of those early episodes, that was just kind of like natural filming, like tour bus kind of tour filming, and then you decided to kind of sculpt that into what is now Fuck That's Delicious. Do I have that right?
Yeah, exactly, man. That's yeah, that was kind of like the premise, and then I suppose, yeah, it got a name, and Vice, who Bronson signed to, came on board, and yeah, Munchie started, you know, producing it, and they just finished the first season. But I think there's definitely going to be a second season of that. It just definitely shows like a more, you know, more human side to Bronson and his tastes, and I suppose his culinary attributes and everything, you know what I mean? It's more of a real life look. You can watch, you know, the music videos of Bronson and get a gauge for what he's like and the kind of person that he is just through, you know, the references and the way he acts like in his music videos. But I suppose Fuck That's Delicious is like a more insight to the man himself.
It's fantastic. It's one of the best things on the internet. I actually know there are some people who I've heard of that don't even know Action Bronson as a rapper. They just know him as the host of Fuck That's Delicious.
Exactly,
and
man.
And that's fine too. I feel like
that's even better. That shows that people are watching it and people are entertained. It's hilarious, you know, when people are finding out that he's actually a rapper, like secondhand. Yeah, that makes me laugh at it. It's funny.
It's so funny. It's like, he's not just a great like host of a show. Oh, that's even better. Yeah, that's the best.
what's the best thing you've eaten while filming Fuck That's Delicious?
Ah, man, it's hard. There's been so many places, but to be honest, like, the good stuff that you see on camera that he gets to eat, like, I'm in the background, you know what I mean? So by the time the good stuff has come out, he's already taken care of that. There's no more of it yet, you know? So a lot of the time, you know, the rest of the crew is like kind of wishing that they were there at the table eating what he was eating.
He orders the whole menu sometimes.
that's true.
There's nothing left.
That has happened on multiple occasions. But yeah, like, I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff, man. But there's definitely some interesting spots as well, like eating in Cape Town, South Africa, at this barbecue place. It was just kind of crazy in terms of like the area that we were in and the way they prepped everything and the barbecue. And I suppose, yeah, the whole I know, I feel like eating is also an experience. It's not just a taste. You know, people are like, oh, how does that taste? You know, I feel like the whole experience around it can really kind of like emphasize the taste of things as well. So for me, it's also about the experience, you know, the places that you are when you're kind of eating this cuisine, which all makes it, you know, that much more like, you know, special and comical.
It's so crazy too, because he's all over the place in these, because like there's some that he's like in, you know, these like exotic European locations, and then other times he's in like Tampa on the side of the road eating outside of his outside, like on a trunk, like it just so all over the place. And that's what makes it so amazing. It's like no choosiness. It's just like sometimes you gotta follow your nose, and it's like, yeah, you do. There is one moment though in, and you might not have been there because like you mentioned, a lot of people are involved in the show, but there's like a classic Fuck That's Delicious moment that I've always wanted to find out more about, and that's the Mike Ditka portions. Were you there for that?
I wasn't there for that.
Okay, never mind. That's getting cut out. Too bad.
But I did watch some of the raw footage from that, and it's pretty hilarious, man.
Is it like, so does the raw footage suggest that it was as awkward as the final edit made it appear?
100%, man. Even more so. Mike Dicker didn't give a fuck about Action Bronson. You
not
know?
At all.
It was, and yeah, that shit is hilarious.
How they even got him to agree to be on camera is amazing. Because, like, it's completely off the cuff for the most part, right? Like, you guys, because as you mentioned, it's rooted in, like, you just following him around in tour footage stuff. So, are for the most part, are you guys even, like, getting permission to go into these restaurants and shoot this stuff? Or does that kind of all happen on the fly?
It depends. I think there are parts that are set up differently, but like others are just on the fly. Like for instance, like in Tampa, when you know we were just driving along the road. I don't know, where were we? No, Atlanta.
Yeah, right. I think it was between Tampa and Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, we were just driving on the highway, and then all of a sudden, the smell just came across this car, and everyone like looked over, and it was this barbecue spot. So yeah, we just pulled right up. And that was it. But obviously for the more finer dining, it's all planned ahead, you know. But that's what's weird about it. There's spontaneity involved as well. It's not crazy structured, like, oh, this has to be set up, that it is. Like, whatever we kind of feel like and go out and do it. Obviously there needs to be permission to shoot, but
right.
it's still spontaneous, you know.
Right. And then Bronson, it just becomes the through line you need no matter where you are. He's like, he's at home, because he still was quite at home in that Ditka footage, even though he was getting like this cold shoulder and like, but all this delicious food was being brought out, and so fuck it. So these Fuck That's Delicious episodes, they're not in the database, but they're definitely in the show notes. There will be links to all of those as well. So we spent a lot of time talking about Action Bronson stuff. There is one other video that I definitely wanted to talk about, and that's the Lorena Bobbitt music video by Ardana? Aradna, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm the worst at every name. But Lorena Bobbitt is a name that I know very well, and I guess the first thing I wanted to ask about this video is just because you mentioned you're from New Zealand. So in 1993, was like Lorena Bobbitt something that you were even conscious of when it was like in the news?
100%, man. Because my dad's sick in the head, and he thought that was the funniest story that it did ever come across in the news. So there were like Lorena Bobbitt jokes going around my household for like a month straight. So I was yeah, more than aware of that story growing up. But yeah, it traveled all the way to New Zealand, man, funny enough. But
crazy.
I suppose it was a powerful action what she did, you know? And
very powerful.
Yeah, so yeah, I was definitely aware of that. So I feel that's part and part why I really wanted to do the video as well. But the video was really based off those chain of events, you know?
Right.
But not as graphic, it's, and more alludes to the fact than really showing the detail and what actually went down for
yeah,
those people that know. But yeah, it was interesting. When that video came out, women loved it. But then there was like some group in the UK that like approached some like male, like, I don't know, macho group in the UK that protested against it and were hating on it online.
Oh man.
And it was like, yeah, against, yeah, that it was attacking you know, male pride. It was quite hilarious, man. It was kind of great, though.
So, like, meminists or meninists. I'm sure they have some ridiculous name. So, did you feel any of that, or was that something that you were just kind of conscious of, that you saw people?
I was just conscious of it, man. Yeah, no one was
coming for
really
you.
Coming for me, you know. But it was definitely entertaining.
That's hilarious. And because, I mean, admittedly, like, watching the video and being conscious of the scenario of what Lorena Bobbitt is all about and what she's come to represent, it's like a video that is very, like, visual, and it's hard not to, like, empathize with, even though they're just pieces of fruit and vegetables, like, you know what they mean. And it's definitely like, oh, that this kind of hurts to watch. Not enough to, like, speak out against it, but, like, it is something that's, like, very visual. Like, was it difficult to edit as it was for me to watch?
Yeah, with all the knives and blades involved. Yeah,
yeah.
But nah, it was more about just being, like, tastefully comical, I suppose, and alluding to the fact that using the fruit in there is a place of something else. You know what I mean? It's all yeah, using the phallic symbol is something for creative purposes, you know, within the video. So, yeah, I'm just glad people paid attention, man. People watch it, you know. If people kick up a fuss about it, that's great.
Totally, right. How are you able to, like, insert the humor in there? Is it mainly, like, through the use of the fruit and just kind of, like, the overall tone of the video? Is that how you're able to kind of sell the humor and not so much the agony?
Yeah, and I also think, like, that the song is kind of, like, bouncy and more uplifting, you know. It's not like a dark song, you know what I mean? It's kind of happy. It's like a happy tune. So I think, you know, that's, like, what I was saying before. That's where kind of, like, the music aids the visual as well, I think. Having something that's type slightly dark, like darker undertones, but having this really uplifting and, you know, positive bouncy song, you know, juxtaposed with that is, I kind of, this humor and that, you know, off the bat. So I think that helped too.
And what, like, there definitely in some of your music videos are some darker elements overall. Is that something that kind of just happened naturally? Is that something that you enjoy kind of looking at and playing with in your filmmaking?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, that kind of rings through for my work with music videos, and then also the documentary films that I've chosen to make as well. I feel like, you know, the darker tones are very interesting, and I suppose a lot of the imagery related to that I'm drawn by. So it's kind of powerful. But, you know, overall, as someone as a filmmaker, someone that makes visual content, that it's great to also have that balance of kind of more darker undertones, more kind of, like, I suppose, harder stories, and then juxtaposed with the comedic values, you know, and, like, things that are a bit more uplifting and witty. So like, I myself are conscious of that and try and kind of have my work like balance between the two, you know. Nothing, you know, that it's just straight comical, like, funny videos, or just straight really dark, tear-jerking films, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to get a balance. Like, for instance, like the last documentary that I released before, we went and filmed Easy Rider was a very, like, dark emotive piece, and then we went and shot Easy Rider, which is totally the opposite, you know. And so a lot of people was like, wow, that was very different to the last, you know, the last video you gave us. But for me, I think that's important, you know, not to be too serious the whole time.
Definitely. And where, as in terms of, like, do you see yourself continuing to work within the music video form? You've obviously gotten more into documentaries now and that type of thing. Do you see more of a path in music videos for yourself going forward?
Yeah, definitely, man. I feel like, I want to just shoot more and more music videos, you know. I like, you know, I still love the, you know, the documentary form. And like I said before, I have a passion for storytelling and, like, finding stories. So anything that has a good story and narrative to it, you know, I enjoy telling the story. So music videos is definitely something I want to keep pushing for, and definitely want to keep working on music videos this year and keep, you know, producing content, because, you know, as I mentioned before as well, I'm also a big fan of music. So you know, a lot of my ideas and a lot of my inspiration comes from music itself, and that's why I love working on music videos, because, you know, when someone sends me a song, like, if I have like a cinematic response to it and feel that that's like how my ideas spark, you know, and that's where I go to from there, the music is what the inspiration is. So, you know, a lot of it comes naturally, and like, yeah, you know, the music's like the inspiring thing. So, you know, being a visual person, just, you know, music videos is just a great form that I, yeah, definitely want to keep moving with.
Sweet. Well, if anyone listening wants to see any of the videos that we've talked about, you can go to imvdb.com/podcast. And there'll be a list of the music videos that we talked about here, as well as a link to the things that we talked about also that aren't music videos, and a link to Tom's page in the IMVDB database, so you can see all his work, and maybe a link to his Twitter account might be in there too, so you guys can get your follows on, which is important to do. Tom, in addition to some of your work, there's a couple of videos that you... that we asked you to bring with you to chat about that you didn't make, and I think now would be a fun time to talk about those. What do you think?
Let's do it, man.
Sweet. So why don't we go with what's the first one you think would be cool to talk about?
Let's start with the Thugly Run This. Let's do that first.
Okay, great. Thugly Run This, directed by Amos LeBlanc and OG Inhu. Man, I'm so bad at names. Amos LeBlanc, I got right though. Let's go with that. So why'd you decide to bring this one up? This is a pretty fantastic but dark music video.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when I saw this, I just, like, first off, the song was great, you know, like I mentioned before, like the song to me also has like a real kind of cinematic feel to it. And with that, the visual is like just as cinematic, you know what I mean? Like, the visuals in this are really amazing, in terms of the photography involved. And I suppose what was great about it was that it was very powerful, and it's also like an issue that's really on people's tongues in terms of like police being bad dudes, you know what I mean? And I suppose doing kind of crazy things. And with that, it was like a kind of like, I felt it was kind of like a bit of a social statement, but also something that was like visually powerful. And along with it being kind of dark, and the fact that there were, you know, scenes where, you know, like there's, you know, violence involved and these cops are just kind of like running a riot, there's also comedy. And I thought that was really great as well. You know, when they're like basically like doing lines off the back of the trunk of the police car, and like doing burnouts and just like dancing like on top of the roof, you know, like that was great, man. It was powerful. It was hilarious. And there was that great mix. You know, for me, I thought there was just a really great balance between that really dark kind of like kind of evil undertones, you know, reflection on society. And then also the kind of like comedic points of the video, which were equally as awesome, you know. So for me, I just thought it was, you know, a real powerful, well-rounded visual.
Yeah, definitely. And so for anyone who hasn't seen the video and decided to not pause and watch, what happens in this video, it's basically, it starts with a young kid who's kind of, you initially see him kind of being used as like a drug runner, kind of like, he's walking down, like one guy kind of gives him a bag and he gives that bag to another guy. And then we kind of see this kid as an adult, as a police officer. And yeah, he's like young, super athletic, like really handsome, kind of like king of the world type dude, you know, like just feels like he's owning everything around him. And he's kind of proving it, you know, he's basically able to do whatever he wants in a city. Kind of like push people's buttons and pull his gun out on everybody and yeah, like you mentioned, do donuts and all of this kind of crazy stuff. And it's really interesting to me that this video was made in 2013, because Tom, you're right, like it is kind of this type of thing is on the tip of everybody's tongues right now, with police, you know, not having to follow the same rules as everybody else and being quick with pulling their guns out on people and using them on people and all of this stuff happening so much in the last 6 months, you know, being really, really present. And the fact that this video was like kind of addressing that type of thing head on, you know, 2 years ago is, you know, really interesting to me, because this is like, this video really came to mind like when all of this, you know, stuff was really being talked about heavily, you know, it's, this video was one of the first things that I thought about. Adam, this is the, had you not, you weren't familiar with this video before today?
No, it was a new one for me. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And it is funny. Like, it does have these funny moments too, which is like a crazy balance. Because it's a video that makes you so upset at moments. But at other times, like, you really do, like, there are some moments that do feel fun too. It's like a crazy balance.
Yeah, for sure. They did a really good job of keeping it, you know, as a message, a statement video, but also, you know, infusing some humor to make it a little lighter.
Another thing that's crazy about this video is director Amos LeBlanc. What's the asphyxiation video? Are you guys familiar with that video that he came out with just a few months earlier in 2013? By Otto Erotica. It's basically just like sexy women playing dodgeball. And it's just like a crazy, I mean, it's a really fantastic video too, but it's just like such a jump in subject matter.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's just like in your yeah. face, babes in scantily clad clothes, like almost overly sexy dodgeball. And then a few months later, like addressing, I guess that one, that video addresses social issues as well, just in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that that jump there. But yeah, this is really the Thuggy Run this video is a really fantastic video. Cool. Well, Tom, what's the next one on your list that you wanted to chat about?
Let's move to Dancing Anymore from Is Tropical, directed by Megaforce.
Sweet.
This is one of my favorite videos, man. Like, is, I don't know, like, it just, like, it kind of puts forward, like, an array of emotions, you know? It's hilarious, man. It's just a great video. It's, like, a great song that's very powerful. And I suppose the premise of it is, it's like, alarming. And, I think how these guys came up with this idea between them, it would have been hilarious to be like a fly on the wall when these guys are discussing the treatment for this.
And why don't you walk us through just like briefly what the basic premise of the video is?
Yeah, so basically the premise is a young teenager who's basically going to work at like almost seems like a wealthy trophy wife's home in a beautiful, beautiful French mansion. And he's basically house-sitting the house and to also clean her pool while she goes out. She leaves and he's left there to this mansion by himself to supposedly clean the pool, but he gets a little sidetrack and basically just ends off masturbating throughout her house, to photos of her and to all sorts of things, you know, in different rooms of the house. But I suppose it's just made very well with, you know, great, you know, animation, CGI, like, included. So basically what is going through this young adolescent's head is, you know, depicted on the screen through CGI. And it's just hilarious, man, from the different, you know, sexual, I suppose, situations that are coming up in his mind to the graphics themselves with these women with, like, huge fake tits and and like, you know, like perky butts, like everything. It's like the works, you know? And
I love that the women are computer generated, but like they still have fake tits. Like it's still clearly like, you know, like boobs that look like they've had cosmetic surgery done.
Exactly, man.
Such a weird look. And this is a video that like I've shown people, like when you run a music video database, people are like, oh, show me a good music video. And when this video came out, it is a great music video, and so, like, just instinctively, like, oh, you got to see this video, it's nuts. And it's like, you can't really lose with a Megaforce music video. And so I would show them this video, and it's like a thing where, like, I'm in a room with someone, and they're sitting at a computer watching this video, and I'm, like, standing beside them, like, weirdly, and, like, all of this stuff on the screen's going on, and, like, the person is not laughing. And it's like, oh, shit, they don't like this. I'm now a weirdo who's making them watch this on a screen.
You show this thing to your dates, right, Doug?
Right, this is what happens. I match with somebody on Tinder, and then I tell them what I do for a living, and they're, not impressed, but also, like, are still around. And then they're like, oh, show me a cool music video. And then I show them this, and... Yeah, I don't match a lot more people on Tinder anymore. So this is the type of video that, like, but, like, the interesting thing, and now I'm getting a little specific, but I think it's a good point. This person is someone who I've shown the other Is Tropical music video to by Megaforce for the Greeks, and that person loved it. So I thought that I was like, and the Is Tropical the Greeks music video is children with like super soakers and toy guns with like crazy bloody animation on top of it. So it's funny that like that person had no problem watching little kids blow each other up and stuff, but like it's one dude alone masturbating in a mansion and suddenly I'm a freak. So it's weird that like the same artist, same director can like evoke these two different emotions with this animation. But man, I'm really glad you brought this video up because I had not thought about this video in a while.
It's a great one. Yeah, if people haven't seen that, I think they're definitely... I don't want to spoil it too much for people, but it's just... I think the visuals and everything going hand in hand with the concept. And, you know, it's another one of those visuals that kind of like really go well with the song as well. And it's a great song, you know, also. So I think it really lifts it up, but... Yeah, it's crazy and it's amazing all at the same time.
It gets so crazy.
It gets crazy.
Very over the top.
We won't spoil it. But we will do this. Adam Alexander, what's your favorite girl in the video? No.
That's tough. I like the first girl, I think. Okay. She sets the tone.
Okay, that's fine.
I like the one that's like oversized, you know, she's like the size of the room, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Man, I just like the guitar. Whatever, as soon as the guitar makes the appearance. Yeah, but we won't, if we get too deep into our favorites, then we'll start spoiling stuff for folks. And
just sounding like sickos as well, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I mean,
we should probably move on.
It's not us, it's Megaforce. Megaforce is making us do it. And so, man, what a great video though. Cool. So what's the next one you got on your list?
So yeah, we're gonna change it up. Next one on the list is Build Me Up from Rafferty, directed by Vincent Haycock.
Nice.
With this video, what really attracted me to it was just the fact that it was visually very powerful, but also had a great real-life story attached to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't really see that all too often in music videos. A lot of it's, you know, narrative-driven pieces in an imaginary world that are, you know, fictional. With this, I thought it was very powerful because it was real life and shot in a, you know, in a really amazing way, but also had these surreal elements to it. And so it basically follows like a... You know, almost like a day in the life of three brothers in Compton, I believe, basically kind of goes through their life and has insights, little vignettes on what was happening in their life, from their family to their relationships with each other, you know, to their girls, to like a death which you suspect is in the family, and just really kind of paints this kind of really powerful kind of piece that is also kind of intertwined with commentary from the boys themselves and also from their father. And, you know, being someone that's, you know, really, into, you know, the documentary filmmaking form, I thought this as a music video was really powerful just because it kind of touched on that kind of, that artist, that, you know, that way of storytelling and that visual form. So yeah, I think it was really powerful just, you know, being shot in black and white, you know, 35 millimeter film just, you know, gave it, you know, that amazing edge. And yeah, just all around, and with the song, everything, I thought it was great, man.
Yeah, this is one of those, like, Vincent Haycock has a lot of classic music videos under
For
his
sure.
belt, but like this is like one of the ones that immediately comes to mind when I think about Vincent Haycock music videos, because it's like just so, because you know, Vincent Haycock strikes me as a type of director who is not gonna do a music video if it's not the music video they want to do. And like this strikes me as the music video, like a shining example of a director being able to do whatever they want to do for a music video, because it is just such a different piece, like something that you just, I cannot believe a artist was like, yeah, let's promote my album with this. Like this is just like not what artists are supposed to let directors do for music videos, and so, it's so great that someone did and does, and like is and it's so fantastic. It's like so rooted in reality, and like because of that, they could do whatever they want in there,
Yeah, it
and it's
was
so great.
really interesting to me that it kind of sets itself up as a straight documentary video, but then the elements of fantasy kind of show up, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, this just got like really cool,
Yeah.
and I just kind of like that surprise switch that happens.
It's a switch, but that it's a switch that like because of like the style that exists throughout the video, it's a switch that like when it happens, it's like it makes total sense, even though it was like completely unexpected. It's like such a weird thing, but it's just like the perfect thing to happen in this video.
And it's still kind of maintaining that documentary film aspect, because it's kind of showing the brothers when they're children, and it's still these little glimpses into, while it's not actually them, at their lives kind of being depicted in the span of a video. Really cool.
Yeah, and it's a video that kind of puts it all together. Tom, like you mentioned, the 35 shot by Evan Pavlovsky, who's been on this podcast, it really adds an additional element to that for sure. So what's another one? What's another one you got on your list? We got a couple more.
Got a couple more, man. The next one is from P. Diddy, actually. And this is Bad Boy for Life. I just wanted to kind of talk about this and touch on this because it's just like, man, it's like a video like I hadn't actually watched myself in a while, and then someone had mentioned something to it like about it the other day. I was like, man, it was a great video. And you know, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, he made some great videos, man. Like
Yeah.
especially in that era, like in terms of like an artist within hip hop, like Puff Daddy like was really creative in the visuals that he put out for the genre of hip hop, you know.
Definitely.
And I'm just a fan of the man. I think they're like ridiculous, they're over the top, but they're funny as hell as well. But you know, just captures kind of like an essence of that, you know, like late 90s, early 2000s, like hip hop. You know, like you watch this video and it's basically them terrorizing like a rich kind of suburban neighborhood, you know, like wearing like throwbacks and like 5XL, you know, and like it's just like it's awesome, man. But it was definitely a nostalgic video, you know, watching it recently again. It's just that, you know, it kind of throws back to that point in time, you know, where music video budgets were really big and people were doing these outlandish things, especially, you know, P. Diddy, you know. And so yeah, I think it's a great video, like in all aspects. And you know, like I was saying before, like the with hip hop, you know, like I feel a lot of like hip hop visuals can be very I don't know, similar and consistent with the imagery. Not a lot of people kind of push it in terms of the visuals that are coming up from that genre. And I feel this video, you know, really pushes it, you know, and it's hilarious, even down to like the cameos, you know.
So many great
Like
cameos.
this is like this video has like, yeah, probably some of the best cameos like in a music video, you know. They got what do they have? They have like Ben Stiller, they have Mike Tyson for like one shot.
Yeah, Shaq.
They have Shaq playing basketball. They have like Dave Navarro, Travis Barker, like, oh man, they have everybody, you know?
Such a cameo
Snoop's in there,
video.
like, yeah.
It's really fun and interesting to see who makes the cut for a star-studded video in any particular time, like back in 2001. Right.
This was huge. In 2001, to have Shaq and Ben Stiller, like that is, those are such huge stars of that year. And this is, Tom, you're absolutely right about like Puff Daddy and Mace like brought fun to rap videos. Like they made it okay to have fun
100%,
in your
100%.
Rap videos in like a ridiculous flashy way.
Yeah.
And this video is almost like is like interestingly self-aware too, because they like wheel Cristal in like a wheelbarrow and stuff. It's almost just like those moments are almost just like, oh right, we have to like put those rap video elements into this video. Like how do we do it? Oh, let's just like wheel it in there. Like it's almost like just dump in the rap video, you know, moments into the video. Like it's a strange self-awareness of like the people who invented what they're being self-aware of. It's just like such a, puts it a lot together. And the Ben Stiller cameo, the pee pop and diddy pop, like him getting the name wrong. Like I will never forget that. And it's still a thing that like Puff Daddy still has 11 names. And just like rolls with it and has been rolling with it for over 10 years now, almost 15.
So. It's great. Yeah, like I said, like he's also like an artist. Like I suppose back then, you don't really see it as much now, but he's not afraid to kind of poke fun at himself either. You know, with that cameo, with that scene, for instance. You know, making fun of his name, and then you know he's out there doing like, you know, he's like riding with a bunch of kids on little mini scooters. You know what I mean? Like.
Right.
And yeah, it's funny, man. I think, yeah, him and Mace, like, you look back at all the classic hip hop videos that they made, like More Money, More Problems, everything like that. Like, you know, he's playing golf, you know, putting for the PGA, you know, to a title, you know what I mean? And Mace is the commentator. Like, all those scenes that was just kind of classic hip hop at a time were exactly what you said, where it was fun, you know? And I think that's refreshing, you know? I think it's cool to see that was being done back then. And yeah, it was a great video.
I feel like that's a lot of what Action Bronson is doing right now. Like, I feel like is as fun as rappers can have, and you know, Puff Daddy and Mace obviously paved a way. But like, I still think that's like a very select few rappers out there who are like gonna ride a motorcycle and like fake play the guitar and like fake being on acid and like fake fight and like do all these things. Like I feel like Action Bronson is definitely like in that line of artists who are willing to like do things that other artists aren't doing.
Yeah. And he also he kind of maintains that really great balance of being kind of like a funny rapper, but at the same time he's also taken seriously as an artist. That's a tricky balance.
Yeah, I think that's really important too. You know what I mean? Not pushing it too far, but you know, at the end of the day, like, you know what? I suppose you know why these videos are getting made is because of the music in the first place,
right?
And that's the most important thing. You know what I mean? And so you know, for Bronson, you know, he's great musically. You know, he puts out like amazing music, and he's definitely respected as, you know, someone that consistently puts out great work, you know. So the, you know, like he's definitely serious on the music side of things, you know, and
right.
Just being someone that's, you know, able to then turn that music into something that's powerful and equally as genius visually is, you know, that's kind of attribute to like a great all round artist, you know.
Totally.
I feel like even more these days with artists and the way music is going and the way like everything is very like content driven and you know great things for us that music videos are like really thriving, you know, in this kind of like day and age, that you know, for an artist it's very important to be able to be not only musical but also visual, you know, and have artists that are willing to create great pieces of, you know, visual work that can accompany their songs. And so, you know, like I'm always on the lookout for artists that have a very strong kind of visual presence, you know, that can create great visuals. I think as like an entertainer or someone as an artist these days, those things really go hand in hand, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so with the most people, like typically when you're working with artists, is it still like you're seeking them out to work with them and that kind of thing, or, you know, a personal relationship first and someone who you know that's going to be willing to do things visually?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of the work that I've done for has just been through kind of word of mouth and through people that I've known. And that's kind of how like the videos have come about, you know, how they've like happened, you know. But I'm also always on the lookout for new artists. And like I said before, I'm a fan of music, so I'm always looking at people that I like to work with and someone that I'd like to do a visual for, you know, because you know, if I like any like their music and then also think that they're, you know, visually great as an artist. So yeah, but it comes both ways, you know, through getting the work, just through word of mouth, through friends and through commissioners and yeah, however it may come, you know.
Totally, definitely. Well, swinging back, we've got one more on the list, on your list, and this is the only video that you brought up that I had never seen, but I'm really excited because this is such a fantastic video.
Yeah, I suppose this is just one from that I wanted to throw in there because it's from little old New Zealand, and I'm not surprised that you hadn't seen it. You know what I mean?
But it's so good.
It's
Yeah,
great.
like I just
It's Sophie by Goodshirt.
Sophie by Goodshirt, which is a New Zealand band, and it came out in 2002, and the reason why I kind of wanted to talk about this video is that it's a very different video to the last one we talked about with Bad Boys for Life, you know, obviously being like a big budget kind of video with, you know, very glossy star-studded cameos and everything like that. This is like a something on a different scale, but something that has like a very great idea. And the idea is basically a one-shot video where a girl is in her apartment and she starts putting on the song Sophie and starts singing along to it when she's wearing headphones. So she puts her headphones on and she's in her own little world singing along to the song. And then the you know the her apartment is behind her. She's in the foreground, and as she sings along, basically these burglars break into her apartment and basically steal everything from behind her as she's totally unaware, basically listening and singing along to the song, basically to where they've cleaned out her whole apartment by the end of the song. And for me, I just remember seeing this as kind of like a teenager being like, oh, that was just something that struck me as like a really great idea. And it's, you know, back to the point there where it's not a big budget video, but the idea is great and something that's really easily executed, and really shows that at the heart of like all great, you know, music videos, like the idea is the most important thing, you know what I mean? Of course you have to execute that to a certain standard and you know, obviously try and visually make it, you know, how you want to in your eyes. But this is just an example of where the idea is just very, very simple but great, you know? And you know, especially like, you know, these days and budgets are always such a topic with any sort of music video, but I think this video just shows that, you know, with a great idea you can make an awesome video, you know, with not much money, you know. So yeah, it's something I'm always aware of, just like, you know, if you're pressured with a budget constraint, just always trying to make like something that's like visually impactful for not much money, you know.
And it's like, it is not like just a handful of things in this apartment. It is a packed apartment when the video starts. And one thing that's cool that I read about in doing a little research on the video is that the burglars are all the members of Goodshirt, which is fun. They're all the dudes stealing the stuff. But yeah, I mean, this apartment is loaded with shit. I mean, everyone just like brought everything they owned and put it in this apartment for it. And then they entirely clear it out. Like, this is it's very simple, but like they could only do a few takes because it would had to have been so annoying to just like essentially move someone in three times, like as many times as many takes as you needed to. Like, it's an entirely moved in apartment and they completely cleared out. They even like go and take shit from rooms that you can't even see. They're just like suddenly coming up with more shit from rooms that are out of frame, but just like selling it even further. And then they even take some of her cake, which
Yeah.
is super sad. But like such a great concept. And she nails the performance. I feel like at the end I would be a little bit more shocked. She drops the cake and is less shocked than I would be. but very believable performance too.
I thought it was just funny. It's like one of those ones that really stuck out when I was younger. Is yeah, something coming from New Zealand that was creative, you know. And yeah, I thought it was awesome. Just funny and well executed, you know. But yeah, they definitely had a lot of shit in that apartment. You see like the old like Apple like computer back there and everything. It's funny, man. But
super good. Yeah, I know that New Zealand, like, I hear that people in New Zealand, like, people get excited down there when people from New Zealand are successful. We had Joe Cafali on recording some commentaries for us, and he mentioned that he made lots of newspapers when he got a Katy Perry music video. So,
definitely.
It's very proud. You guys, are you very proud of your New Zealand heritage and the stuff that comes out of there?
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, Joel's the man also, you know. Joel's amazing. He's amazingly talented and a really good dude. Definitely think I'm proud of the New Zealand heritage. But, yes, yeah, it's even better, though, than when you see other people from New Zealand doing cool stuff. You know, Joel's testament to that, you know. He's done some amazing stuff. And there is a lot of talented people coming out of New Zealand at the moment, which is great to see, and people that are really doing some cool stuff. Thunderlips out of New Zealand, I think, are amazing, and they do some really good stuff. So, you know, for me, like, I'm proud to see that, you know, and it's great to be, like, alongside those dudes just making content at this time as well, you know. So, yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, Thunderlips are great. We just staff picked last week their Emily video by the Eversons. We IMVDB picked that, but also their Glare Sheepdog Wolf video is such a fantastic music video.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Sweet. Well, cool. So if anyone who's tuned in wants to watch any of these videos that we've mentioned, go to imvdb.com/podcasts, and there you will see episode 2 of the Music Video Chats podcast. You will see all the videos we talked about. You'll see links to Tom's IMVDB page and the Fuck That's Delicious episodes and his Twitter account and a picture of the Lorena Bobbitt Wikipedia page. Just to upscreen anyone who doesn't, they don't know who Lorena Bobbitt is and they're curious. But yeah, Tom, thanks again, man. It was really great to have you on.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Sweet.
Thanks, Tom.
And we'll see everybody in a couple of weeks. Must be the